Ladies and gentlemen, it is 2 p.m. on a Monday. You know what that means. Snacky Tunes, HeritageRadioNetworks.com. That was just DJ Never Forget dropping a sweet, sweet Tijuana track. And why is Tijuana open up the show? Because the boys are in the studio. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah. Anyway, big shout out to TechServe for the sponsor of the show. Our producer is Jack Inslee and our engineer, Rec Tech. Like we said, Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio. Little late today. We had to do some other radio work beforehand, but better late than never.
No, we can say it. We did two shows today because we're champions.
Yes.
We went into the future and just did a show with Moby, who was great, and it will be airing September 7th. He does a couple tunes, talks about being a vegan, and playing in tea houses and washing dishes.
What else
don't
does he do?
All away. Don't want to give it all away.
Can you just play it right now?
Yeah, actually, can you turn the air conditioner off behind you guys?
Does he talk about the beach?
No. No. You guys, hey.
Anyway, the fact that we're standing after this weekend, after the Brooklyn Electronic Music Festival, pool party. We're swimming mall disco.
Terry, how did that go?
It went just fine. Never forget. And for you, never forget.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Delmont killed it. I thought.
Yeah. Delmont.
Yeah. Besides your voice, did you also lose your dignity this weekend, Conrad?
Yeah.
By the way, welcome back to town.
Thank you.
Eight month hiatus. Drinking a beer, huh? A little early. What time is it? What time is it?
It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock
somewhere.
So we got Tijuana in today. They're going to play some live songs and talk about food, even though you guys are totally...
Mostly wings. Oh. Yeah, but that's later.
Well, that's good. Later.
Keep them salivating. But over the week, we went to Brooklyn Star over on Havermeyer in North 8th. New restaurant.
It was featured in the New York Mag Cheap Eats as
I read about that.
And we went with it was actually really good.
You can read.
You can read.
It's a book on tape.
I think that was a question.
That was less question, more statement. But it was really good. If I could recommend anything, the pigtails.
And the cream corn.
Something I think I'll never put in my mouth.
Yeah, but you know what though?
Too close to the pigs.
I'm sorry.
Unmentionable.
By the way, no one can see you winking at me. This is radio.
Damn it. What if he goes,
play the cameras?
We were waiting for the slide whistle.
But no, it was really good. But you know, if someone put a pigtail in front of you, you would have no idea unless someone told you.
Yeah, it'd be like, it's like, eat
does it cook straight?
Yeah, does it cook straight?
It's curly. It's like a fry.
Yeah.
These curly fries are delicious. Yeah.
You know, if you pull it makes that boing sound. No, anyway, so coming up also after the break, Never Forget's going to drop us another tune, and we'll be talking with Irene Wong of IW Productions about Michael Pollan's latest article on the Food Network and the current state of cooking at home. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetworks.com. Never Forget, take us into the future. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was just DeLorean Big Dipper, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Bonus track off of Fool's House Records out of Paris.
Really good.
Really good.
Really been the EP of the of
last
the,
week.
The last week.
Really just really took... Really took our iPods by storm for the last 4 days, only to be replaced by the next
EP.
Thing, EP of the week. So really just, you were listening to Finger on the Pulse. Well, actually, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. I'm DJ Never Forget, sitting next to Terrence Diabolic, Esquire Jr. III.
So last week...
Debutante.
last week, Michael Pollan, who's probably one of, if not the most famous current food writer, released an article in the Times about the current state of food TV versus cooking at home.
Tied into the recent Meryl Streep, Amy Adams movie, Julia and Julie.
Yeah. And so on the phone with us today to discuss it is Irene Wong, who is who founded IW Productions and who's worked on just a ton of shows like Ask Aida. Her current show, Five Ingredient Fix, is a new is currently on the Food Network. She's been nominated for James Beard Awards. I mean, she's just... She is, if you know anything about producing food television, Irene is the woman to know. And Irene, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Irene. How are you?
Hey, Irene.
I'm good. What a nice and thoughtful introduction. Thank you. I'm flattered.
Of course. Well, Irene and I worked together on Ask Aida for season one. And the reason why we want to bring Irene on is because what we took from this article is that, you know, the Food Network, sort of in a way, they're saying that it's doing a disservice to cooking at home. And I always felt that... Irene, that your show is really focused on cooking with food. And so just maybe your take on this article.
I think Food Network does both. They encourage people to go into their kitchens and cook. I think we're so busy with our work schedules, with our families, with our friends, that we have less and less time to really stand in the kitchen and cook. And not only just go in the kitchen, but you got to go to the store, get all the ingredients, you've got to prep it, you've got to clean up. It really adds up in time. So when you watch the Food Network, it makes you hungry, especially if it's food that you like and it looks delicious, it sounds really good. And when you watch the host and their guest eat, all you want to do is make that dish. So I think it does inspire people to go into their kitchens and try to cook, especially since their recipes tend to be very easy and accessible. At the same time, there's a lot of other programs on the Food Network where food is really a vehicle. The primetime shows really don't teach people how to cook, but they certainly educate people about ingredients and where food comes from, how to use it in competition, how to use it in challenges. You don't walk away trying to make those recipes at home, but you maybe learn a thing or two. So I think it gets us into the kitchen, but, you know, with our schedule these days, it's just so hard to find that time.
You know, it's one of the things about the article that I thought was the most interesting points was they talked about how marketing people over the last few decades have, like, shifted what people's perception of cooking actually entails. And it was funny enough, I was at a store this week, and someone's like, oh, have you tried the new bakery place that opened? I was like, yeah, I don't think that they actually are cooking anything yet. The girl goes like, no, I had a sandwich there. Which is exactly what the article had said about how people's favorite food is sandwiches and people feel like that constitutes cooking. So I wanted to know, it's like, you know, with what you just said about, you know, trying to get people back in the kitchen versus like the marketing and like the challenge stuff, you know, where you think people's, you know, do you see like a rise of people cooking from, you know, from your shows? Or do you see like people being like throwing in a couple cans of beans and turning on a stove? It's like, if that's good enough?
Well, I don't think there are cooking shows that do long-winded recipes that take a day or two to make. And if you look at Julia Child's recipes, you know, especially during the day when that was published, she was doing very classic French cuisine. And if you look at the cookbook today, compared to other cookbooks that just fly off the bookshelf, they are still somewhat complicated because it involves really specific fresh ingredients that need a little bit extra steps to kind of really bring out the flavor. And then you have other cooking shows where they really do rely on pre-made food. You know, Sandra Lee is a perfect example, where she did semi-homemade cooking. It's still on the air. And it does really well because she allows people, she admits, you know, I'm going to use 70% store-bought, and the rest I'm going to cook from scratch. And then you've got cooking shows in the middle, like Ina and Giada and even Claire Robinson, where what they do is they use a lot of fresh ingredients, maybe they will pull the puff pastry from the freezer. Maybe they will get the phyllo dough, because they're not going to make that from scratch. But what they fill it with, what they use to top it, they will make it from scratch. So there are all different levels of home cooking, and if there is a level that appeals to a family that works for them, as long as it gets in the kitchen, that's really what matters.
Now, one of the biggest challenges when you're producing these type of shows is balancing entertainment versus information. Do you think we'll ever return to a show where the information is heavier than the entertainment?
Probably not, if I had to guess right now. Of course, things change all the time. You know, when Julia Child came on PBS, there was probably a dozen channels back then. And now you've got hundreds and hundreds. And when you're a food producer, you're torn between being a television producer, where it's about ratings and making advertisers really happy, making your executives very happy, and bringing in a lot of viewers for the Nielsen ratings. When you're a food lover and, you know, food is your passion and your thing, often the two don't go hand in hand. You try your best to bring both to the screen, but, you know, if you really love cooking, then you will travel the world for a dish. You will spend hours in the kitchen cooking. And not everyone is really interested in that. There are definitely hardcore foodies out there, but I wouldn't think all those foodies have Nielsen boxes at home.
Now, do you think that in the article it says that, you know, no one makes their own socks anymore? They're just things that have become so manufactured that even the concept of, like, you know, building your own car or, like, doing anything like that will eventually be applied to cooking food, and that the next generation won't cook at all. Do you think that that's going to happen, or do you think it's going to be still people cooking at home? Like, do you think that there will be continuing more and more people to get back into the kitchen?
I think it starts to get people in the kitchen to try a recipe, and if that means using prepared chicken stock, something that's already kind of done for you, then hey, at least you got them in the kitchen and they're going to do something with that stock. And if people really love to cook and that awakens their inner food person, and then they spend a little bit more time on weekends to use the stock for something else, try new recipes, in time, that person might want to make his or her own stock. I mean, I've been cooking for maybe 15, 20 years now, and I have maybe made stock maybe 3 times in my life, and that's because I've accumulated chicken bones over the course of 6 months. And like, okay, I guess I need room in my freezer, so I'll make some stock. But that's because I have a few hours to spare. So even though I love food and I cook, and probably more than most people do, I still rely on pre-made chicken stock.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. One of our listeners just sent me a link saying that Julia Child's cookbooks are number one again. And, you know, and in the article, it touches on how the long day cookings have now been, you know, regulated to like a weekend activity. So do you think that maybe now with, like, this presence, that there's, like, the movement now that people might take, even if it's a bit, it's, like, their activity, it's not just a basic home thing, like a becoming almost like a activity or a hobby for an all-day event? Like, do you see people getting into it in that way through your shows?
I hope so, because I think with this economy now, people are cooking more at home. And when you're going back into the kitchen, you're bringing your family and your friends together. I mean, that's how I grew up. My parents cooked my meals every single day. And that's a part of how I go through my days, is that I get to cook also. But I probably clock more hours than my parents did because of my job and because I, you know, thrive on my career. But cooking for me is still a weekend activity. And I know that when I bring my friends together and we all cook, it is so much fun. And it's joyous and it's delicious. So I hope that people buying Julia's book and, you know, cracking that open again and making beef bourguignon and, you know, spending hours in the kitchen, they realize it's so rewarding because you start to fill the kitchen with these unbelievable aromas and you feel like you're at home again. So I really do hope that it's the beginning of a big trend.
Well, that's great. Just one last question. Given, let's say you had all the time that you needed, what is the one most complicated dish you would sit down and make?
Probably something French, because they tend to be very technical and layered. I've never made the beef bourguignon ever before because it requires a previous day of marinating wine. I'm sure there are many different ways of doing it. And then searing it. I mean, so many layers of flavors. But I'm sure someday in the fall, if a weekend allows, I would probably tackle something where it would take about a couple of days to make.
Awesome. Well, Irene, thank you very much. This is Irene Wong, head founder of IW Productions. Thank you for joining us on Snacky Tunes.
Oh, thank you so much for the invite. I enjoyed it.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye. All right, thank you very much. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on heritageradionetwork.com. DJ Never Forget's going to hit us with a small set, and then we're coming in the studio live with Tijuana.
Coming at you
live.
The dog days are over. The dog days are done. The horse says, "Come in."
Ladies and gentlemen, Snacky Tunes, heritageradionetwork.com. We're finger on the pulse. That was just DJ Never Forget.
Who was that last song?
That was really good. It's a song called Surprise Hotel by a band called Fool's Gold, which is a little unfortunate. But they're really good. The record is coming out on I Am Sound in the fall. And before that was Florence and the Machines, Dog Days Are Over, which is also on I Am Sound. Just two really good. Florence and the Machine record is really, really good.
I didn't know Florence and the Machine was on I Am Sound.
They're going to. I don't think it's out yet. Those are unreleased tracks.
Booyah! Oh.
Illegal.
Oh. Another FOTP exclusive. Anyway, so big shout out to our sponsor, TechServe, who keeps our computers from dying, and to Jack Inslee and RecTech, our producer and engineer, respectively. Big shout out to Maddie, Luke, and Eric holding down the Dinner with the Band fort.
Maddie was actually the listener who sent me in that Julia Childs link, but I didn't feel like dropping his name. Like, my friend Matthew Reynolds just sent me this thing. Wait, sorry, caller.
I have a correction. You called it Julia and Julie.
You're
dead wrong. You're dead wrong with that one. It's Julie and Julia. I've seen the poster.
Whoa.
Burn.
Hey, Julie Child, right?
Julie Child.
Anyway,
Julie Child and
so in the
Julia,
studio,
whatever.
So in the studio.
Hold on a second. You guys ready? Because this is live.
Oh.
Oh, okay. In the studio today, we have Tijuana, our good friends, Wayne, Chris, and Conrad. From left to right, even though you can't really tell.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, nice.
It's Wayne's mom.
Hey.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Wayne's mom.
Hey, Ms. Longwell.
So, these are three of our best friends, and they also happen to be in this awesome band, which is very fortunate because your first show on that rooftop I saw, I was like, oh, I don't know about this, guys. I'm going to see a lot of these shows.
Interesting. Gloves just came off.
Yeah, the gloves came off. But then you guys played at Santos for your second show, and it was amazing. So...
They're back on.
Gloves are back on. Yeah. And
wait. Where's this out?
By the way, by the end of the show, we will find out which one of you is the father of Greg.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
who
also
has the not
who's
the father
answer. Yeah. You mean never forget?
Yeah, never forget. Delmont.
Do we go? You is never Delmont's forget brother? Or never?
Yeah, Delmont. So anyway, we just want to say coming up also next week, August 19th at the Hope Lounge. It's our last summer barbecue blowout series with DJs from the Dap Kings. And they're wonderful chefs of Prime Meats. And Chris and I were talking about Prime Meats.
If anything is a ringing endorsement for Prime Meats, it's that I have a friend that works there. And he told me that when they opened, Jay-Z rode his bike there. So if that means anything, if Jay-Z will get on a bicycle and ride...
That's almost like
we also,
on making
also
the band
that, like,
when they walk to get cheesecake. It's almost the same.
2 or 3 weeks ago, I heard a rumor that Jay-Z and Beyonce were shooting pool and playing Big Buck Hunter at East River Bar.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, they'll do anything.
Yeah.
They're at East River Bar.
They were probably Crazy in Love and got lost.
Yeah. Is that,
okay.
Crazy in Love Part 2? Anyway, so beyond... just being awesome dudes, all wearing black t-shirts.
Beyonce and Jay-Z?
Oh, no, again, hold on a second. Air conditioner. You got like one responsibility, and it's just... You're awful.
One of the things that we love to do together is go and eat wings at, you know, many, many places.
Like Croxley's Monday night.
Croxley's Monday, that's tonight.
Oh, man, what if we got Croxley's a sponsor? That'd be awesome. Shoot.
Coming at you live from Croxley Ales. Yeah. Wings every Monday.
But most of the events are like, all right, one more.
But I think we've all had many winter days watching some HBO and eating Buffalo Cantina.
Yes.
Love it. Ever get the suicidal.
Conrad, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. Well, I like things really hot. Like really, really hot. And I got the flavors are like hot, hotter, and then suicidal, you know? So I got like the hotter the first time I ever got them. And I was like, these are not hot enough. So I got the suicidal. And like I took a bite of one of them and I literally like sneezed, coughed, cried, and got the hiccups all at the same time.
And then he lost his voice.
Yeah.
And then I lost my voice.
This was a year ago. It still hasn't come back. Yeah.
I think that probably the only...
Hold on a second. My favorite PS on that story is that you were so broke that you washed off the sauce.
The leaks did that.
Oh.
The leaks washed off the sauce and refried.
The leaks. Queen of the barbecues, yeah, fryer of chicken wings.
I came home from work and she was like refrying them up on the stove.
Oh, and you absolutely did not eat them, right?
I absolutely ate them.
So let's have him play a song.
Yeah. Anyway, so Tijuana put out a really awesome EP earlier this year.
I believe it was called Demo.
It was called Memorex CDR.
I'm gonna take that one around the room.
Can you do a crowd cheering for me?
Do a crowd boo.
So anyway, so talk to us about
Tijuana.
Yeah,
talk to
someone else.
It's a band we're in.
All right. Let's.
Dunno.
That's a project we've been working on since about early last winter, and pushed really hard and played some really awesome shows with a lot of really cool bands, and
a lot of bassists kept doing stuff.
How many bassists did you have? Bassies?
69.
Three, sort of. And now you're bassless.
They all died.
All car wrecks, all separate.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so the EP came out to a lot of rave reviews. And
from who exactly are you referring to?
We are huge fans.
It was the week before the DeLorean EP took over our Tijuana EP.
The DeLorean EP.
Yeah. Anyway,
if you go back and listen to the show, it was a joke.
I remember.
It's called
the
a reference.
The show is archived, so you can go back and
reference jokes.
Where we're going, we don't need references.
So let's play a song. What is the song? What's it about? It's about girls.
This is a song. This one's different from the rest. About girls. It's called. Which one are we gonna play?
Tune in.
Yeah.
Let's go. And
it's on the EP.
Wayne, lead vocals.
Hello.
Chris, percussion.
What if I?
Sorry for that, everybody.
Hey.
I don't think. Anyway, let's not over. And Conrad, you're just handsome.
He's not just handsome.
Conrad,
he's in the
handsome.
Cure also.
So this is snack. This is Snacky Tunes with Finger on the Post, and this is Tijuana live in studio.
Okay. Thank you.
I like to play.
Thank you.
Wait. Which one's the boo?
Oh, it's a cheer!
Yeah. Oh, it is. Damn it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tijuana on Snacky Tunes coming at you live. HeritageRadioNetworks.com. Every Monday, Monday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
You got that?
Yeah, I got that. Listen, guys, that was awesome. A little bit different than the version that's on the demo EP.
Yeah, that. Well, that was like how I originally wrote it when I
Also, we're on a lot of drugs right now, so we couldn't help it.
Hi, mom.
Just kidding.
Hey, mom. What is it? What is this Monday?
Can you play the slide whistle now?
Boop.
That was me shooting up. Sorry, mom. not a leak. Real mom.
So then, how did that version go into the version that we all know?
Well, we worked on that song.
That one was probably one of the tougher ones to finish.
It
for
had
us.
A lot of. It was like. It was a lot of different versions before the one that ended up being like the one we played.
Yeah. The outro became kind of the chorus.
Yeah, there were a lot of different parts. Yeah. Remember, when we first were working on it, it had that, like, super long intro thing.
Yeah.
We were kind of getting, like...
It got
wanky. We were getting, like, super jammy with it.
Yeah, yeah. It just didn't fit the direction of most of the other songs, but, we worked on it, found a way.
Really? I can't imagine how that went out.
Yeah, seriously. Dude, Wayne, this is a hit. Conrad, I know. And this is a hit. Chris, shove Chris, you're a drummer.
I know.
A lot of screaming, dancing that we did it.
I think it changed. I think the version that we just played is just different because it's for the radio, you know?
Ooh.
So we did it for you.
So
that was kind of a think piece, what he just said.
Yeah.
I'm really smart.
Hey, speaking of the radio, how many shows have you guys done so far?
It's our fifth one.
Yeah. I want to congratulate you guys.
Oh,
it's really awesome. I've listened. Listened and I've loved.
You just the interviewee just became the interviewer.
I know, I switched the tables on you. It's weird. It's you want to change the table? Yeah.
The table literally just turned.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. It's like thanks.
So I think we got another song from you guys coming up.
Yep.
Right now.
Yeah.
Like literally right. Like why am I still talking? Why
you want to do it right now?
Do you want to do it right now?
Let's do it right now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll play some jams. We could all sing along to My Chemical Romance like we did outside of last
game. We've done that before.
When we sing three iPods.
I was hating my friends.
Up until the Glenning Fact came that I didn't have the whole album. So I was singing singing something, and then I was like, what? And then when I found out there were more songs.
Yeah, there were. You were missing like two songs.
Three really good songs. And then my friend gave me the record, and I was. It was like getting.
You felt like Indiana Jones.
AKA me.
No, it wasn't you. It was. It wasn't you.
Oh, so we're not friends?
We're roommates.
Oh, yeah, we're roommates.
What is this? Chris, you're going to hold. By the way, you got to hold it a little bit closer.
Does this song have a name?
Hold you a little bit closer?
Everybody out.
Hold this up here?
Yeah.
Did we come up with? Did we ever have a name for it?
Yeah, this is a new.
I think it's called Untitled, right?
It's called the demo.
The demo EP.
Memorex track 5.
this is a new one that will be on our next release.
It's brand new from the winter of 2007, probably. No, I'm just kidding.
What can we expect the next release? You know what? We'll save it. We'll talk about that. All right, guys. Tijuana on Snacky Tunes, HeritageRadioNetworks.com.
Ooh, I feel your love spirit. I wanna see some stars. Can you rap? Please don't help go away. Cause I wanna be by your side every day. You're not near my heart, it hurts. I feel my soul's bound to burst. Please don't ever go away. Cause I wanna be by your side every day. Ooh, got you in my arms. Ooh, crippled by your charm. Ooh, promise that you'll stay. Don't ever go away. Cause I wanna be by your side every day. I just wanna be by your side.
so weird you wrote a song about wings. Seriously though, out of all the songs that you've written, how many of them are not about girls?
Goose egg.
Goose egg.
There's I've written a lot of songs. It's hard to say. The ones that end up being that I like the most are about girls. Wonder why I like
Tijuana ones are about girls.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also weird that the one cover we ever did was that song from The Jerk, which is also about
girls
being in love with a girl. Playing a trumpet.
We're just a band of, you know, lovers, no?
Hey, that was Tijuana. Get out.
Get out of the
studio. Once again, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We're your host, Finger on the Pulse. I think Terrence is going to DJ a few songs for us. And then probably talk.
Do you have a monitor that you can, like, molest while he does that?
No. That is in reference to...
He used to say 500 meters away from all
Nikki,
monitors.
NikkiDigital.com. You can see Never Forget literally making love to a monitor on the stage yesterday.
I'm so sorry I missed
party.
It.
Yeah.
Not because I wasn't there to support you guys, because I was there to miss you bumping
all I know is I looked up and I thought, you know, it was just, you know, me looking at it, and there was Conrad staring at me, jaw dropped, and I said, things change in 8 months, guy. You know, there's been some cold winter nights. Anyway, so this is... Banter on hold, gents. This is Terry Diabolik on Snacky Tunes.
To protect, don't like the fragrance. Shut your windows. search for you by night in the dapper gravel pit. Until the town finds Christ, injustice is my middle name. 'Cause you don't need to change your futures with us. You don't need to change just
the microphone. There we go.
Can't hear you.
That was just most chemistry. That was just you're listening
to.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes,
Heritage Radio Network.
We are hosts. Finger on the Pulse. That was just Los Camisinos. Track Death to Los Camisinos.
Before that was Tokyo Police Club. Your English is good. And before that, Q and Not You. Let's go back to my place and put on some records. We heart our hive.
Oh, that old line.
Hey, I got this,
I've never used that one.
I got this new Discord record. Want to go back to my house?
Jade Tree just put out a new seminar. Actually, you know.
Anyway, so we got a few more minutes before Tijuana takes us out with one last song. But we were briefly talking about over the holiday when we were got free Cinemax or HBO, and they played the director's cut of
Hold
That
a second.
Thing You
the,
Do.
Yeah, the best.
I heard about this.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's Conrad, Darren, and I.
It blew our minds. It blew our
minds. And the thing is that we weren't really watching it. But we were just playing cards in the background.
It was on in the background.
And we were just like, wow, this...
Like, it crept up.
Yeah.
We started, I was like, wait.
I don't remember the scene.
The scene wasn't in the original.
And then we realized that we were like, oh, this is great. This is a director's cut. Like, how good could it... What type of... That thing you do when you think of, like, director's cuts, you think, like, David Lynch. You think, you know, Steven Spielberg. Yeah. Why did I say Steven Spielberg?
I'm sorry, who?
Yeah.
Steven Soderbergh.
What is he
think
done?
Yeah, Steven Soderbergh, yeah.
Okay, so let's set the scene. So if you all remember, Shades is drunk, coming home from the jazz club. He meets Del Paxton, and he's coming back to the hotel. He gets dropped off by Tom Hanks.
Rita, but that's not her last name.
Hey. Oh, is it Perlman?
Rita Hayworth.
Hayworth.
No, it's not. It's just a joke.
And so he runs. Okay, and he runs into Tom Hanks and Conrad. If I could let you.
Well, yeah, and Tom Hanks is
coming out there of the hotel,
and there's a man in a tuxedo
in a sports car
leaning against a red convertible, and that man happens to be Howie Long, linebacker for the Los Angeles Raiders. Like, it's really him.
Oakland Raiders now.
Yeah, now, but ooh, back then.
Also a big fan of Snacky Tunes, I hear.
Anyway,
and Roberta's.
And the Wiz.
Delicious pizza.
Nobody beats the Wiz. So Tom Hanks goes to meet Lloyd, who we later learn he's named Howie Long, that is. His boyfriend,
yeah.
Lloyd. They get into the car. And Shades comes up, and it's kind of like a cute exchange between
he's
Tom
wasted.
Hanks and Shades.
He's like, are you going to party? Can I come with you?
And Howie Long suggests that they bring him, and Tom Hanks says, you're so bad.
And they laugh, and they peel off.
Yeah. He gives them like this knowing look, and so it's like Tom Hanks is the gay subplot from That Thing
it's
You Do, which
it
was
makes
like
so much sense is the thing.
Yeah. And the thing is,
it should have been in the movie.
And the thing is, I think we watched it like 100 times. Like, I think. Like,
I've watched it since as well. Like, I've watched it more
why
times.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, what does it make sense? What are you trying to say?
Why does that make perfect sense? What are you trying to say about Tom Hanks?
Dude, no. He was like...
Because he was like, what?
Okay.
What did he look gay or something?
You know,
bam!
Limp-wristed. He was limp-wristed.
No, anyway,
easy.
It was like one of those things where it was just like, what?
Yeah, but it was amazing.
It was amazing.
Like, you never think that you needed more of that movie, and now I can't imagine...
I can't imagine without it. Anyway.
It's a good
actually, you know what? That reminds me. The question you asked earlier about how did Tune In come about was from that movie.
Because
we played it slow and Chris said, speed it up.
Oh, like in the part when they said, what are we, the Wonders? And we started playing it fast. Like
Oliver said to speed it up. And then Chris said, you just that thing.
Yeah, you just that thing. You did.
And that is how we bring a show full circle. We want to thank our guests today, Tijuana. We are your hosts. What do you want to do?
Nothing.
Okay.
What do you want to do? Nothing.
We are your hosts, Finger on the Pulse. I am DJ Never Forget.
I'm Terry Diabolic. Thank you so much to Irene Wong. Again, thank you to TechServe, Jack Inslee,
Rec Tech.
Every Monday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. live, Heritage Radio.
Next week, we go back to the dance music with JDH and Dave P of Fixed and Making Time fame. But we are going to have the show closed out by my favorite Tijuana song, which I told Wayne was the hit. And now that I'm on the radio,
I'm going to make you a star.
I'm going to make you a star.
Can I dedicate this song to a special someone.
Yes.
Delmont Bresnitz.
Delmont in Nebraska.
No one loved it. Anyway, if you want to hear this
what
again,
was
the show
DJ Snuggle, what was it?
DJ Squiggle Bandit. if you want to listen to this again, we are archive as well, along with all of our past shows. So guys,
HeritageRadioNetworks.com, all the other great shows.
Or you can go to the Tijuana MySpace as well. Tijuana, or MySpace.com/TijuanaNYC.
Question. What is MySpace?
Stop it. Can we? All right.
I don't know anymore.
Guys,
it's like Twitter.
I know.
It's like Twitter, but.
But 10 years ago. All right. Tijuana, thank you guys. This means a lot
to
us. I'm glad that we got to get you in
here. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
So Tijuana with Oh My Marie. Tune in next week.
But I can't take the rest. And